Well, so the 9/11 as the unknown reality of the world, the unknown reality. Yes. It's unknown. It tells you that it's about consciousness right there.
Yes.
In other words, wake up.
Certainly.
To the reality of the world.
Yes, that is it. Now, he used the term unknown reality with Jane Roberts. They wrote a couple of books called The Unknown Reality, Volume 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And in this case, in the new books, he's carrying it a step further without a lot of the ephemera of the old material. In the Jane Roberts material, he used their personal experiences, and Robert Butts, who was the stenographer, scribe person, Jane's husband, took down all the dictation and talked about in copious notes.
Who does your dictation?
With
do it
me,
at
it
the
comes
computer.
Right through, and I
go right there.
It's sort of like an automatic writing type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And you're comfortable with that? I get the impression you've been a writer all your life. Is that right?
I have, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Seth chose well.
He did, yeah. It's and a lot of my life experiences, I'm finding now, were for the express purpose of creating these books.
All
it's
right.
No coincidence that I learned how to
now, Cass
publish books.
Came into your life doing hypnotherapy, and then you wrote a book, and then she changed from this process to.
Well, Cass, yeah, she she was concerned by the length that it took for us to get a finished book in print, and she was assuming that we would immediately get a big-time publisher and just let them take care of it. That did not happen.
You had to put your own money out.
We sure did. And the next fear that came up for her was that, are we going to start getting people camped out on my front porch asking Seth questions? And she's a very private person. Uh-huh. She has a family. She's has a daughter to raise, that type of thing. The upshot of all this was that she decided to leave the project for another spiritual pursuit, studying the masters,
okay,
which is her lifelong vocation.
And Seth may have certainly been aware of all of this,
yes,
that she was the catalyst that got you going.
Exactly, yeah. He pretty much said as much afterwards. He said, I couldn't very well tell you that you're going to experience this negative experience, because that would maybe throw you into a depression. Maybe you drop out of the project, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
here
probably
you
right.
Are, and you aren't dropping out. You sound like you're in this.
That's for sure.
And yet, it's come to you at this point. It came to you. Seth came to you in 2002. We're in 2008, and here's this number 2012. There's a lot to be done. How is that a little daunting, or do you just how do you work with this? Just do the best you can, like it's a job. It's not keeping you from sleeping or leading a healthy life.
Well, it's
kind
a matter
of a personal
of,
question.
It is. It's let me talk about that. The way Seth would describe it. He talks about us coming into physical reality as students. Students learning how to use energy, basically. The energy of all that is, as he calls it. You might call that.
Yes, the all that is. Okay.
The god or the goddess, the force of Mother Nature, mm-hmm, that type of thing. And that our lessons concern a multitude of things that we should be focused on learning about in our individual existences. Apparently, one of my lessons was, you were talking about earlier about addiction before we went on the air. I had a problem with addiction. There was a sequence of events in my life that forced me, quite literally, to address those issues. So what happened was I sobered up to keep from destroying myself. Mm-hmm. You might understand that. It's something that has to be done. Anyway, that was one of my lessons, and I didn't realize it was a lesson until in retrospect, when I look back and say, oh, that's what happened. If I hadn't have done that, I'd still be out as a party animal, and I'd have never been open enough to receive Seth's communications. You know,
you
have to be open. You have to be humble, big time. And so,
you know, you're coming from a place of not knowing by the very nature of your asking questions.
Yes.
Sometimes it's hard.
Got a lot of questions.
It's hard to be like, here I am on the radio doing a radio show, and I feel like I have to know to come in here. And all I really have to do is ask questions and listen and you know, pay attention. But I still have that part of me that I have to work with. So there's these character things, too, that
That's
come
true.
Through.
Yes.
Yes, well, quite an opportunity, cleansing. I also want to mention a little bit before we get into you're going to be channeling Seth after our break, and I'm very excited about that. You moved to Lake County a couple years ago, and you finished a degree, a master's degree in counseling.
Counseling psychology.
And so you then were working with counseling drug and alcohol clients and also back in welfare to work program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you come from the service community, which I do too. And sometimes we get over-empathized out. And it can kind of take away sometimes until you can learn the proper boundaries. I also wanted to mention completely different. I'm sure glad you moved to Lake County. I love hearing the stories about people moving here for the clean air.
Mm-hmm.
And you also live with Carol, your wife, and your cats, and you. I'm interested in the on Cobb, so you have a lot of wildlife. When the bobcat visits you in your backyard, how do you keep that bobcat at bay and not eating your loved animals? Do you have any communications or understanding with the natural animal life there?
You know, the best way to keep him out is to shut the door. We have a deer fence that surrounds a property, and if we leave the door open on the back, it's just a wire fence door. If we leave that open, it will come in. But if we keep it shut, it generally doesn't appear there.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to set a boundary.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with a real boundary.
Okay. Also, just tell me a little bit about why they're so interested in Seth's work in China.
Oh, I have no idea. Well, it was a sort of serendipity.
Yeah.
Coincidental, if there was such a thing. My website, SethReturns.com, contains a bunch of MP3 files of Seth speaking through Cass and Seth speaking through me. There's hours and hours of these MP3 files I put up there. Now, I've allowed people to download them if they want. And so, sure enough, whenever I do a search on the titles for my MP3 files, I found that they've been placed on little websites all over the world, particularly in Taiwan, China. There's some in Spain, Germany, and France. And so lately I've been answering email questions. There's a service we provide that's very inexpensive, I might add, where Seth answers your single question according to the truth as he sees it, and he answers his questions in terms of his concepts. Simultaneous lives, as you just mentioned, is a big one. The point of power is in the present, and he's become sort of the go-to guy for young people in China wanting to know what their life purpose is, or relationship issues are big. But I've noticed that a lot of the questions are about how can I contact my spirit guides? Hmm. What can I do to help people? Hmm. These are from kids that are, well, Seth calls them light workers. They're working with light energy to help people. They're doing it through body work, through tarot, the arcane practices of antiquity, you might say.
That's very touching.
Isn't it?
To me. And I just wish that we had more coming from here. And when we will. We will.
I think so. I think that's developing as we speak.
Growing and developing. And of course, we want to acknowledge that you have been sponsoring a Seth Book Club through Wild About Books.
That's right.
In Clear Lake, and they carry all of your books. And let's just repeat. I want to repeat it. SethReturns.com is your website.
Mm-hmm.
So people will have access to the names of the books, and we'll talk a little bit more about that before the end of the show. We're going to take a station break and have some poetry from your wife, but I just want to say this is KPFZ Radio. And this is Chloe Carl on Earthwise on July 4th. This show will be repeated on Monday, the July 7th, at 8 p.m. We will ask maybe for call-ins in the next part of the show. So hang on there, listeners, 263-3435. And after we have the poetry break, we'll be back with callers and with some Seth connection, communication.
Buddha owns the touch of moss on tree bark. True Buddha thinks and feels how sex is fine. And true Buddha has some laugh lines way down deep inside their eyes. True Buddha is not afraid of being the only one in a group whose mind is lost in daydream, spacing out on cobweave or sun glint, and they do not hang their head when somebody points out what a silly daydreamer they are. True Buddha is not ashamed of talking loudly or laughing so intensely that the house breaks apart. True Buddha joins a circus when their boss turns down the request for raise and promotion. True Buddha joins the circus when the raise and promotion requests finally come through. And True Buddha stands on a large, glinty rock whenever making you a promise, so their promise to you, like granite itself, can last for your lifetime. True Buddha will put out a raging fire by using air, water, and blood alone. True Buddha can create a fire by using their air, water, and blood alone, but it is much harder for them than putting a fire out. It involves using their heart. True Buddha has the soul that is mountain air, twilight and dawning, gypsy song, forest pathway, meadow flower, waterfall, and dance music. Their soul is a hiding place for the stored pictures of faces of friends. And their inner ear is a cavern of the soul, echoing tree branches, stirring, stirring late into the night. True Buddha is mature without ever growing up. Lastly, a true Buddha would never give you rules or regulations for you to have to follow so that you arrive at Buddhahood. They trust that you will make it on your own. They would rather just give you tea, toast, and orange juice for your breakfast, or some chocolate cake fresh from the oven for your lunch.
Well, thank you, Carol, for presenting your poem. I love that. True Buddha does not tell us what to do. All right. Well, our phone number here at KPFZ is 263-3435, and we're inviting anyone that wants to call in. We can do some channeling with Seth here. Well, we're going to, and we'll be watching for a phone call, 263-3435. And, of course, welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
Yes. And I think we have a question right here in the studio. Okay.
Do we need headphones on?
Unless a caller comes in.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, Mark, I was wondering if you could make some clarity on an issue that's come up lately. A lot of times when people have Seth readings, Seth addresses the questioner with a great deal of love and affection. But if you remember, Seth, when Jane Roberts had a neighbor who was insisting that men treat her a certain way, and she could be very frantic, and she could be very depressed, and she was very demanding. And Seth, you finally confronted her in sort of an angry way. Why would there be a need for you sometimes to be more confrontational with someone? And if you can explain that, it might help some people who feel that Seth can only be loving, and that if Seth is a little bit more strident, then it must not really be Seth. If you can answer any of that.
Certainly. Listeners, it is a matter of life and death for you in physical reality. Now, when I give my advice, in quotes, to those of you who are seeking out the meaning behind their behaviors, I do so with an agenda. I am not allowed to provide for you information that will interrupt the learning of lessons for you. When I am blunt with